Chapter 5. Pronounced Insane. "Here is a poor girl who has been drugged," explained the judge. "She looks like my sister, and anyone can see she is a good girl. I am interested in the child, and I would do as much for her as if she were my own. I want you to be kind to her," he said to the ambulance surgeon. Then, turning to Mrs. Stannard, he asked her if she could keep me for a few days until my case was inquired into. Fortunately, she said she could not, because all the women at the home were afraid of me and would leave if I were kept there. I was very much afraid she would keep me if the pay was assured her, and so I said something about the bad cooking that I did not intend to go back to the home. Then came the examination. The doctor looked clever, and I had not one hope of deceiving him, but I determined to keep up the farce. "Put out your tongue," he ordered briskly. I gave an inward chuckle at the thought. "Put out your tongue when I tell you," he said. "I don't want to," I answered, truthfully enough. "You must. You are sick, and I am a doctor." "I am not sick and never was. I only want my trunks." But I put out my tongue, which he looked at in a sagacious manner. Then he felt my pulse and listened to the beating of my heart. I had not the least idea how the heart of an insane person beat, so I held my breath all the while he listened until, when he quit, I had to give a gasp to regain it. Then he tried the effect of the light on the pupils of my eyes. Holding his hand within half an inch of my face, he told me to look at it, then, jerking it hastily away, he would examine my eyes. I was puzzled to know what insanity was like in the eye, so I thought the best thing under the circumstances was to stare. This I did. I held my eyes riveted unblinkingly upon his hand, and when he removed it, I exerted all my strength to still keep my eyes from blinking. "What drugs have you been taking?" he then asked me. "Drugs," I repeated wonderingly. "I do not know what drugs are." "The pupils of her eyes have been enlarged ever since she came to the home. They have not changed once," explained Mrs. Stannard. I wondered how she knew whether they had or not, but I kept quiet. "I believe she has been using belladonna," said the doctor, and for the first time I was thankful that I was a little nearsighted, which of course answers for the enlargement of the pupils. I thought I might as well be truthful when I could, without injuring my case, so I told him I was nearsighted, that I was not in the least ill, had never been sick, and that no one had a right to detain me when I wanted to find my trunks. I wanted to go home. He wrote a lot of things in a long, slender book, and then said he was going to take me home. The judge told him to take me and be kind to me, and to tell the people at the hospital to be kind to me too, and to do all they could for me. If we only had more such men as Judge Duffy, the poor unfortunates would not find life all darkness. I began to have more confidence in my ability now, since one judge, one doctor, and a mass of people had pronounced me insane, and I put on my veil quite gladly when I was told that I was to be taken in a carriage, and that afterward I could go home. "I am so glad to go with you," I said, and I meant it. I was very glad indeed. Once more, guarded by policeman Brockert, I walked through the little, crowded courtroom. I felt quite proud of myself as I went out a side door into an alleyway where the ambulance was waiting. Near the closed and barred gates, was a small office occupied by several men and large books. We all went in there, and when they began to ask me questions, the doctor interposed and said he had all the papers, and that it was useless to ask me anything further, because I was unable to answer questions. This was a great relief to me, for my nerves were already feeling the strain. A rough-looking man wanted to put me into the ambulance, but I refused his aid so decidedly that the doctor and policeman told him to desist, and they performed that gallant office themselves. I did not enter the ambulance without protest. I made the remark that I had never seen a carriage of that make before, and that I did not want to ride in it. But after a while, I let them persuade me, as I had right along intended to do. I shall never forget that ride. After I was put in flat on the yellow blanket, the doctor got in and sat near the door. The large gates were swung open, and the curious crowd which had collected swayed back to make room for the ambulance as it backed out. How they tried to get a glimpse at the supposed crazy girl! The doctor saw that I did not like the people gazing at me, and considerately put down the curtains, after asking my wishes in regard to it. Still, that did not keep the people away. The children raced after us, yelling all sorts of slang expressions and trying to get a peep under the curtains. It was quite an interesting drive, but I must say that it was an excruciatingly rough one. I held on, only there was not much to hold on to, and the driver drove as if he feared someone would catch up with us.